Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to CAGDU, About Your Dog and You. CAGDU sponsored is a Capital Area Guide Dog Users, Inc. And it is a show about what is a guide dog, where you get a guide dog from, why do you get a guide dog, when do you get a guide dog, and how do you get a guide dog. And our very special guest will be sharing with us those answers to those questions. Greetings, I am your host, Reverend Radio Ray Razor, and I'm with my number 7th guide dog, which is a 3-year-old female coated German Shepherd named Raven. And at the board, and also our hostess with the mostest, is our producer, Miss Renee. Good afternoon, and how you doing today, Miss Renee?
Reverend Ray, you know, this is Memorial Day, the unofficial start to summer, so I think everybody has a lot of pent-up energy, but we don't want to forget what this day really commemorates, and that's the men and women who made the ultimate sacrifice.
And I agree with you, Ms. Renee. You know, so often, I think we see Memorial Day just as another great holiday where we can start running to Office Depot and getting the grills and going to the parks, and especially, like you say, after the COVID for a year, people are so pent up, and they keep on talking about they gave some statistics of how many people are going to be down at Miami, at all the beaches and everything. So it's going to be interesting, but we still got to pay attention to the COVID. But I'm glad that our show is going to do its due diligence and the proper thing about talking about Memorial Day and what the day was set aside for in the celebration of it. So we are looking for that. So as and this is for the old heads, baby boomers and all, that will understand this phrase and this person, as Jackie Leeson used to say, on and away we go. So Ms. Renee, let us know.
Well, we start our show with Stop Dogging Us Around, the good, the bad, and the ugly of using a dog guide. Many of us have seen the iconic poster of Uncle Sam, finger pointing at us, steadfast eyes, and the caption reads, "I want you for U.S. Army." And our guest, Sammy Clay, answered that call. And to paraphrase Robert Frost, and that has made all the difference. In our second half, we will take a look into Charlie's Corner. And back over to you, Rev.
All righty. Thank you, Ms. Renee. And like you say, yeah, we like to start the show off with Stop Dogging Us Around, the good, the bad, the ugly, of using a guide dog. And because Reverend Ray is not out and about so much yet, there's some interesting things that he will talk about as he and his guide dog, Miss Raven, is going about. But some information, we would like to bring you some suggestions, some information, or some tips. But one of the things we want to talk about now to celebrate is on the 18th, put it on your calendar, and people in Maryland, on the 18th of May, 2021, you know we've been working on a guide dog or service animal protection bill, and we want to thank Delegate Nicole Williams of District 22 in Maryland. She was the author of a bill to protect service animals, specifically our guide dogs. They didn't have a bill. Over 48 states had a bill, and it became a law. She introduced it, and she was from the House side of Maryland State, And on the Senate side, and this fellow has a great name, and I don't know how they could turn him down and he don't win. His name is Michael Jackson. And so Senator Michael Jackson, State Senator Michael Jackson, introduces on the state side, and that bill was 607. And on the House side with Ms. Nicole was 234. And the governor signed the bill. Yay. He signed it into law. He signed it into law. And let me tell you, and it took just a year to do it. And anybody that ever worked on legislation, they know it takes longer than a year to get some legislation passed through. Now, I would say, like one of my virtual mentors, Congressman Jim Clyburn say, we didn't get the whole loaf this time, but we would take the half a loaf because we do now have it's called a Harms to Service Animal Protection Law. And I wish my partner, Mr. Charlie Crawford, was here to celebrate that. He started that out with me and all those who supported us, and I want to thank it's good to know people in high places. My good associate and friend, Delegate Williams, that lives here in Greenbelt. So that is quite. Now we're going to be working on one for D.C. Believe it or not, they do not have a service animal protection law. I think Virginia has something because you know CAGDU represent more than 100 person with guide dogs in Northern Virginia, Prince George County, Montgomery County, Washington, D.C., and Southern Maryland and Baltimore. So we got to work on those other two. But anyway, that's that's under Stop Dogging Me Around.
All
the good,
right.
The bad and the ugly are using the guide dog. So that is quite a celebration for this year, Ms. Renee. So let's go back over to you, Ms. Renee, and properly introduce our very special guest. And because this person is from D.C., I'm going to be leaning on them to help us work on their bill in D.C. for service animal protection. So anyway, we have our reasons for everything. So, Ms. Renee, would you be kind enough to properly introduce our very special guest today?
I would be honored to. Today, our guest, Sammy Clay, a veteran, gives us a look into the training and character that stayed with her long after basic training, even when she faced blindness. Welcome, Sammy.
Hi, how are you, Renee?
Good afternoon, Miss Sammy Clay. Thank you so much for being our special guest. We do find it a privilege and an honor, and it just your service to our country. We so want us, CAGDU, to recognize that and thank you for that. And so, Sammy, what we always like to, for our audience to know, is get to know the person. Because I always say now with this Internet, you can go on Internet and find out anything people are doing, what occupations, what they, you know, they're into. But they want to know the person and how a person you know, deal with day-to-day situations, especially people with disability and people that's blind, because there's a lot of people that's blind that's sitting home that think their life has ended, do not believe their tools and their training to give them a comfortable, I would say, a life that have some value to it. So I want to start with you telling us a little about your background, where you was born and all. And one thing people always say to me, I say, Sammy Clay. Say, So who was he? No, it's not a he, it's a she. So tell us how you ended up with that name, Sammy, and then let's go on from there.
Okay. I got the name Sammy because my grandfather wanted a grandson, and I fooled him.
Oh!
But I was born in Belzona, Mississippi, and I grew up in Chicago, Illinois. I joined the Air Force from Chicago because back in the 40s and 50s, you know, it's kind of hard to get a job, and the Air Force was a job. So I joined the Air Force, I joined the Air Force, and I enjoyed it so much, I stayed in 21 years.
Wow.
Wow.
So,
wow.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I got to travel a lot, meet other people in other cultures, even learn to speak German. Never could learn to speak French, so no, I tried hard, but I never could learn. Maybe I didn't know enough French people. But
huh. Well, I would think German would be more difficult than French, but because, I mean, you got French fries, you got French toast. That's different. But anyway. But Miss Sammy, let me ask you this. Was there someone in the service that you know, and for a female, especially back then, what made you, or who encouraged you? I mean, it wasn't like you was walking down the street and, you know, those little signs be out there, Sam looking for you, and just put the hook out there and grab you in there. So what was the concept, the decision on that, and how did that come about?
Well, I saw a movie when I was about 9 years old. And I'm too old now to remember the lady who played the lead role in it, but it was about wax. That was military army women. And I decided I wanted to go in the service. I don't know why. I just wanted to do it. Then when I was going to college in Chicago, the Helena Rubinstein's modeling agency had a fashion show that demonstrated the new Air Force uniforms. And I got an invitation. And I went. And they had the Navy ladies walk in to the auditorium on our left side and the Army on our right side. And I looked at the Army uniforms. I said, man, I don't know. Looked at the Navy uniform, and I liked the blue. I said, I'll take that. Then Helena Rubinstein brought her models out. And I was too dumb to know that these models, they get the uniforms and they pin them so they fit these ladies' bodies like they were molded on them. And these ladies are wearing six-inch high heels strolling around in their uniform. I never saw anybody in the Air Force wearing six-inch heels. And I said, I don't care what the Army does or what the Navy does, that is for me. And I joined the Air Force. I went down and I was sworn in Blue Island, Illinois, a little bit north of Chicago, I believe. I don't remember exactly where it was because it's been about 65 years since I've lived in Chicago, maybe a little bit more than that. But I visit my family regularly. They're still there. But I joined the Air Force and they started me traveling, and I loved to travel. I went every place, an airplane that I could get a hop on would take me.
So what was your occupation? First of all, I'm fascinated. I did not realize that they modeled the uniforms. That is interesting. I did not realize they modeled the uniforms back then. I would like to see Miss Renee in one of them sailors. But anyway, that's all. Sammy, let me back up just a little bit. Now, your family, did you have brothers and sisters, siblings, and did they all come up here together with you?
Yeah. Well, you mean to D.C.?
I'm talking about when you was a kid moving from Mississippi.
To Chicago.
Did you have?
Oh yeah, yeah. The ones. Yeah, they moved to Chicago with us, with my mom and dad. I have one brother.
How many siblings did you?
One brother and three sisters. Two living sisters. Now one of my sisters died, but I have one brother and a sister-in-law and a whole bunch of nieces and nephews. I can't even count them all. And grandnieces and. Okay, go ahead.
I'm sorry. Because sometimes there's a lapse in it. So did anybody else follow you into the military?
No, my brother was drafted. I tried to talk him into joining because he graduated from college. I didn't graduate. I joined the military and went to school in the military. But he was drafted, and I asked him, I said, why don't you go in? You'll be an officer. You get more money. He said, yeah, but if you get to be an officer, he said, you're in until you get 65, no matter when you get out. And he was right. You know, if the officers get a good discharge, they can be recalled anytime the military needs them.
Oh, now, I did not know that. When we hear that music, Miss Sammy, Reverend Ray got to go in his pocket and pay some bills and then pay people on his staff. So we're going to take a break, and we're going to come back in the bump in and bump out with our very special guest, Miss Sammy Clay, to talk about her military life and her day-to-day living as a successful blind person. Miss Renee.
Okay.
You are listening to CAGDU, About Your Dog and You. CAGDU stands for the Capital Area Dog Guide Users. We are located in the nation's capital, Washington, D.C., Maryland, and Virginia, but the information we share is for dog guide users everywhere. Back over to our host, Reverend Ray, and our special guest, Sammy Clay.
All right, Miss Sammy, but I want to ask you this. What did your family say when the teenager came to them and said, Mom, Dad, I want to go in the Air Force because I want to wear me this cute, fashionable six-heel outfit?
My mom was happy with anything we wanted to do. If it made us happy and it was legal, my mother was okay. My dad did not want me to go in the military.
What was his bias?
Oh, he thought the military was a place where women were used by men. I don't think he was right, but he remembers some stuff that he saw when he was stationed in Florida in the military. He really didn't want me to go in. However, after I went in and stayed in a long time, he reminded me how he encouraged me to go into the military.
he sound like what our President Biden talked about in yesterday about the how the Republicans all of a sudden they rewrote history, taking credit for the bill. So Sammy, what was your MOS, as they say, in the military, and how did you get into that?
It's an AFSC, Air Force Service Code, you know, in the Air Force. But I was a communication specialist. At first, I was a radio mechanic. Then they cross-trained me into being a switchboard operator, then a teletype, switchboard, telegram, you name it, we could do it.
Wow. Oh, and you got to travel. Tell them some of the interesting countries you went to that when they saw people like you, they just only thought, you know, we was in Africa and on TV with Tarzan.
No, they never thought that. As a matter of fact, traveling and meeting other people was the best thing about being in the military to me. I traveled to Israel. I was there when they had the Six-Day War. On TDY, and I was so far underground that if they had dropped a bomb on us, we wouldn't have felt it. I was in Germany when they started to build the Berlin Wall. I was in Berlin, drinking beer. I was never doing anything where being in the military seemed to threaten my life. And most of the places I went to when I wasn't on duty, if I didn't get a hop to go back to Chicago, were places that I could get a military hop for. It was free. You know, the plane was going there, I got on the plane. I went to India.
Explain
I went to Japan.
Civilians.
Ma'am?
Explain to us civilians what a hop is.
Oh, that's a free ride on a military aircraft that's going in the direction you want to travel.
Okay.
I came home a couple of times back to, not all the way to Chicago. I came to Philadelphia, Dover Air Force Base in Philadelphia, and then I could fly, you know, I could go home. When I was stationed in Florida, I would fly up to Wright-Patterson, and I'd take a train home, you know. But you could go any place that the plane would land.
Okay.
Wow.
So we got to pass Germany. and we have you in India, and you were giving us a list of countries you have visited.
Oh, I visited. These are countries really after I got out of the military, some of them. But because I had been traveling in the military, I got to go to Russia. I got to go to Yugoslavia before they start killing all the people in Yugoslavia. That was a beautiful country. That was the, one of the most beautiful countries I ever visited. I went to France. I went to one of the Cannes film festivals. My brother was stationed in France, too. I tried to catch up with him while he was there, but he was busy. He was running. He was a lifeguard at the officer's beach, and he was blowing whistles at women.
Oh, yeah, I could have.
Wait. Your sister comes 10,000 miles to see you, and you say, I can't see you this weekend. I'm busy?
No. To visit him when he was in France, all I had to do was take a – well, actually, I drove. I was stationed in Germany, and I drove down to where he was, but I didn't get to see him, you know, except to wave at him on his high seat up there. And then I went back. to Paris and went to Gabby's restaurant, where I could get barbecued spare ribs and collard greens and the kind of things you know that we like to eat. And this guy Gabby, if you remember Brigitte Bardot,
yeah,
the movie star,
yeah.
He discovered her. He put her in a movie where he played a pirate, and she was the damsel in distress.
Wow.
Well, Sam, let me ask you, in terms of language, because we didn't have all these iPhones and everything with translating right on the spot, and also how did you deal with the language? I mean, is English that prevalent in these different countries?
I never went to a country where I didn't find people that spoke English. I think one of the things in Germany that kids have to do, they have to learn three languages: German, which is their language, and then two other languages. Most of them pick English, and most of them pick English as a second language, and then French or Russian or Spanish or something else, you know. But I've never been any place where they didn't speak English well enough if they wanted to talk to you. If they didn't want to talk to you, then they would just kind of ignore you.
Wow.
I got you.
Isn't that interesting?
Let me go into a little bit different direction. What would you say are lifelong lessons, aside from your love of traveling, that did the military instill in you?
Oh, I think tolerance.
Interesting.
Tolerance and a respect for other people and their cultures, which sometimes you miss in the United States.
Mm-hmm. How so?
Absolutely.
And you would say that, Sammy, because of what? I mean, let me ask you this, coming from that direction. The term the ugly American, I mean, is that really like something thrown around in other countries that we act that way when we in those countries?
It is. We compare, no matter how bad off we are in America, how poor we are, how rich we are, how downtrodden we are, we get to other places, we look for things that don't measure up to American standards. One of the things that used to impress me was how people would compare the German washrooms to American washrooms. That used to fascinate me why they did that.
But the washrooms? The bathrooms, you mean?
Yeah, the toilet bowls. They were a little different.
I mean, different do mean clean or unclean? I mean, what do different mean?
They were clean, but they were built differently.
Okay.
I don't want to tell you on the radio how.
No, hey, Sammy, we go as low as we go high.
Okay. Well,
I mean, this is real life, though, and people don't know about some of this stuff.
Well, anybody who's been to Germany, who went to Germany back then, would probably know about it. The toilets had like a shelf in it. I mean, a real shelf that everything piled up on the shelf, and then you flushed it off.
Huh,
okay.
Really?
Okay.
Okay, well, I will be taking a different type of thing with me when I go to Germany. All right. Well, I'm sure they're more moderate there. But Sam, let me ask you this. What country that you love so much, your top three countries that you would go back to, and have you ever considered living in another country?
Well, I lived in Germany after I got out of the military for 15 years.
And I
couldn't think of any other one that I would want to live in except maybe Germany, but not anymore, because I don't think Germany would be good for me as a blind person, because I learned Germany with a car where I could get up and go any place I wanted to. And Germany is situated in villages. You know, you have a village, you have a big city, then you have a bunch of villages all around it, and the buses don't run regularly enough. You know, they run at 6 to 9 in the morning so people can get to work from those villages, and from about 4 to 7 in the evening so people can go home. Then after that, you either get a taxi or you have a car and you drive. If you live in a big city, it's pretty good because they do have good transportation. They have buses. They have some of the first time I ever saw a bus that had like an accordion thing between the other end of the bus, and when it went around the corner.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Wow. So let me ask you this, and you probably didn't pay attention to this then, but when you were traveling all these other countries, and you mentioned something about Germany and probably how blind people situation is, did you ever pay attention or notice blind people in these other countries you went to? Just happen to see one like on the street with a cup in the hand or somebody dragging them across the street, anything like that?
Uh-uh. I never saw any blind people. As a matter of fact, it's my experience for me. I don't remember even paying attention to blind people when I was sighted, you know, myself.
Yeah.
The first time I remember seeing a blind person in real life, well, I had an aunt that was blind, but she could do everything she wanted to do, you know. You go to her house and you didn't know she was blind unless you walked in after dark and she hadn't turned the lights on. And But other than that, she could do everything she wanted to do, and you never thought about her as being blind. The first time I remember seeing a blind person, I was stationed here in the 60s, and I saw a lady on at the metro station. I can't remember which one it was now, but she was walking down the street with a service dog. And I asked somebody, I said, how is that lady going to get on the metro with that dog? And they said, that's a guide dog. Then they told me what a guide dog was. I didn't know what they were before that. I had never seen a guide dog. Never seen. I don't think most sighted people really look at blind people. You know, when you have white cane, you can be walking down the street with your cane, and sighted people will step on it because they're not watching where you are. They're watching where they're going.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
I know we're up against the break, but I did want to ask this question. You were in the Air Force during the 40s and the 50s. Did you experience racism or sexism? Which did you experience, or one over the other?
I experienced sexism more than racism, except when I was in Florida. And I was kind of stupid then. I didn't even realize it was racism. I grew up in Chicago, and Chicago had racism. I didn't realize that. I went to a mixed school, all girls school, of course. Best thing that ever happened to me, because it made me learn things instead of chasing the other gender around. But,
right.
But I went to a school where in my graduation class, which I think we had 28 people in my graduation class. It was a small school because, you know, the girls went most of the times because their parents wanted them to. I went because I didn't want to go to the school in my neighborhood. And I thought by threatening to go to this all-girls school, the teachers would let me go to where I wanted to go. Never worked. But I went to the school. Like I say, it was the best thing that ever happened to me. And I didn't recognize... I don't think most of the girls in that school dealt with racism. I'm sure they knew about it because we grew up in Chicago, you know, and we knew that where we lived, there were no white people, there were no Mexicans, there were just us. We lived in neighborhood. I lived in a neighborhood where my grammar school, if you ever read Stud Lundigan, he's supposed to have gone to that grammar school.
Oh, okay.
So was that South Chicago?
Mm-hmm. I lived on the southeast side.
Okay. All right. Okay, that's our break, and we're gonna take our major break, and then we're gonna come back and and do some more geography with Miss Sammy, and then get into some other things. You're listening to CAGDU about your dog and you, Miss Renee.
Well, we want to thank our sponsor, Big Bad Wolf, a Primo pet store located in the Tacoma Park neighborhood of Washington, D.C. They carry raw, organic, and premium foods. If your dog needs it, they probably have it. They have store-to-door deliveries in the DMV, so give them a call at 202-747-3434. Back over to Reverend Ray for a look into Charlie's Corner.
And this is brought to you, sponsor Charlie's Corner, as Charlie see information about the DMV. And this was our late Charlie Crawford used to do this segment, and it is sponsored by the Silver Springs, and I don't know why they have a name like this, but the National Capital Area Chapter, and that chapter's in Silver Springs. The president is Mr. Pat Sheehan, and you can go on our website, and we have information on that. They meet every third Thursday at 7 o'clock, and, of course, they're doing Zoom by now, and we hope in September or October we'll be back up at the Sheraton Park Hotel where we can have a good time and all. So, anyway, Charlie's Corner, what I'm going to talk about, he always gives information, and I just want to remind people that the guide dog, the guide GDU, have their elections this month, and I'm sure you got your information and your ballot in the mail and everything. So please pay attention to that and participating in the voting on that, the board members and a couple of secretaries and stuff like that. And then also you need this month to sign up to the National Federation of the Blind is having their 2021 Zoom convention in July, and the American Council of the Blind is having their 2021 Zoom convention in July. So please, you know, go online, check it out, and that would be nfb.org or acb.org, and participate. And it just the information that's that you could get on how to help you in terms of living a more productive and independent life. And just what's going on. I mean, just so much information out there and products and services that just can make you a more productive a person. So check out those. So that's, again, Charlie's Corner, Charlie C, bring you information for the DMV. Ms. Renee, back over to you with a proper introduction of our guest.
Absolutely. Well, our guest is Sammy Clay. Sammy Clay was Air Force strong, and she applied her training to the issues at hand, including how to cope with blindness. So, Sammy, when did you begin to lose your sight? Can you tell us about it?
Yeah, I can't tell you when I began to lose it. I can tell you when I knew I was losing it. I had come back here to learn to use a computer, which I never did, and I was working at the Pentagon, and I discovered that walking down the street, I would bump into people, and sometimes I would get pushed around and knocked down. I got knocked down once getting off the subway, so I started going to work all the time on the bus. There was a bus that I could get right on the corner of 4th and M Street, and it would take me to the Pentagon. I rode that bus in the morning and took a taxi home in the evening because I had gotten afraid of being places where I had to actually deal with people. And it was like I was walking in a tunnel. I had lost most of my peripheral vision. And when I went to a doctor, I started going to doctors in the district. It cost me a fortune. You know, I didn't know. At that time, I didn't even know the VA was here. And I met Mr. Razor. She was the treasurer of our NFB group when we used to meet. Her last name was Black.
Linda Black.
Linda Black, yes. Linda Black.
Yes, Linda Black.
Yeah, she asked me one day, she said, "Sammy, aren't you a veteran?" I said, "Yeah." She said, "Why don't you go to the VA?" She said, "You're a veteran. You can get treated there." And I had somebody find out where the VA was located, and he drove me there. And I met Mrs. Thurman at that time. Her name was Lily Thurman, and she got married, became Lily Kennedy. And from then, there was no looking back. But before I found out about the VA and knew that I was going blind, I went to the Volunteers for the Visually Impaired on Georgia Avenue, I think the 82 or 8300 block. I can't remember. It's a long time ago. And I got Patty Dropper for a Braille teacher. Best thing that ever happened to me, I learned Braille. As a matter of fact, that's what I was doing when I was waiting to call you. I was reading a Braille book. I get so much Braille material here, and it's so disgusting to have to throw it away, because any that I get, everybody can get. You know, they can get it themselves, and nobody wants it. My except for this one magazine I'm reading now, it's called Our Special, and it's written by a group of old blind ladies. And you get it from the National Braille Press, and it costs, they edited it, and they write the articles, and the Braille Press puts it in Braille form. And it costs $15 a year, six issues a year for $15. It's well worth the money.
Yes.
It's called Our Special. But I learned Braille. I got me a guide dog, and I made my last sighted trip to Germany, my dog and I.
Let me
ask you this for you. You went to VVH. That was 8720 Georgia Avenue. And you learned Braille and cane travel from them. That you love
Braille? No, I learned Braille from them. I learned cane travel. I went to the Lighthouse for the Blind. It used to be on Peace Street Northwest, and I met Cecilia Rose.
I met
a lady named Cecilia Rose, and she came to my house and taught me to get around in my neighborhood using a white cane. But the way I really, really, really learned to use my white cane was when Mrs. Kennedy sent me to West Haven to the VA's Blind Rehabilitation Center in West Haven. They teach you everything you need to know, anything you want to know.
That's in Connecticut for people, right?
Yes.
Yes, in Connecticut.
And how long were you there, Sammy?
The first time I went, I think I stayed about 28 days.
Mm-hmm.
And what was that experience like? And for people, for those who don't know, it is for veterans. It's for veterans. Haven is, and so what was your experience like there? I know a couple of people who have gone there. What was your experience like there, West Haven?
I had a wonderful time at West Haven. Whenever I'm learning something new, and they taught me all of the things that I would have to learn to recognize with my hands because I couldn't see them anymore. I learned to do that. Mm. I learned cane travel. I learned to build things. I learned to be safe in the kitchen. They don't make you do it really, but they have a laundromat, washing machine and a dryer and an ironing board room, where you can go and wash your clothes. I think that's why a lot of the guys don't like to go. They have to wash their own clothes. and there's a place where you go to get your change of linen, to put new linen on your bed. You can do that. You can do it anytime you want because the linen is there. You know, you go down the hall and get some linen for your bed. But they recommend that you change your bed at least once a week.
And they taught you how to cook as well, because that's a residential facility, correct? That you lived there. You lived on campus, correct?
Yeah, we lived there. Everybody has a room, has their own room. And when I went to First Sam, there was only space for two women, because we had a room that the men didn't use. We had a bathroom with a tub in it. The men shared a shower room.
Okay.
So there was only room for two women, and I was there, and all the while I was there, there was not another woman across the hall from me until about a week before I left. Then a woman came in.
Let me switch gears just a little bit, because this is so fascinating, and of course we never have enough time. But after you began to lose your sight, you said you realized your peripheral vision was gone. You talked a lot about the physical things that happened. You were working at the Pentagon, et cetera, et cetera. What kind of conversation was Sammy having on the inside?
Sammy was saying to herself, God, what is wrong with you? You're taking the only thing I have to make life worth living. What can people do if they can't see?
Wow.
And I was actually, for about a week, I was suicidal. And I woke up one morning after thinking of a way I could kill myself, since I couldn't see anymore, when I got so I couldn't see anymore, without hurting myself. I didn't want to hurt. You know, I just wanted to die. I said to myself, Sammy, you're the biggest fool in the world. Now, you know you're losing your vision. You're learning Braille. I wasn't learning it then. You're going to learn things that you need to know to take care of yourself. And if you kill yourself and they discover a cure for whatever you're going blind from, hey, you're not going to be around to take advantage of it. And I woke up then and started learning things that I needed to know. I learned before I discovered the National Federation of the Blind or the VA, I learned how to take care of my money. I learned how to get around. You know, I would call a taxi service and get a taxi driver that was my taxi driver. I could these guys. I got one that was so, after I got my guide dog, this guy was so afraid of my guide dog. The dog would get in the car and he would lean over to put his head on the guy's right shoulder and look out the windshield. And the taxi driver said, Miss Clay, he was from Trinidad. Can you make the dog go away? And I said, okay, he's not gonna bother you, but I'd make the dog sit back down on the floor. And before we could do anything, the dog was back looking over his shoulders again. He said, what does he want? What does he want? I said, he wants to see where you're going so he'll know how to get home. he fell in love with my dog, and he would come and he would bring. First, he started bringing the dog McDonald hamburgers. Then he would go on 9th and 7th and G Street Northwest, the same street that the library is on, but a couple of blocks away from it.
Uh-huh.
There was a place that had a pet store.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Yes. Mm-hmm.
And he would go there every time he came to pick me up. He would stop off there, and they used to sell cookies for dogs. They didn't have sugar in them, but they were looked like Oreo cookies. They looked and smelled and felt like Oreo cookies. And he'd bring me brown ones and vanilla ones, the brown ones and the white ones. And I'd mix them all together and put them in one of these glass canisters and sit them on the counter. And I had a friend that would come by, and he came by, and we were talking, and he would just, I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm eating. I said, what are you eating? He said, I'm eating some of these cookies you got over here. I said, what were the cookies? He said, they're in this glass container you got over here. I said, those are the dog's cookies. He said, they taste good to me. He said, every time he came by, I'd have to hide the dog's cookies.
Well, Sammy, let me ask you this. How was the dog introduced to you that you came in contact and decided to get a dog? And we're going to be right back after this break. And I want you to tell me how you was introduced to a dog or became aware of a guide dog and then wanting to go get one and what school you went to get one and what your experience was. So you listen to Psych, you listen to Cagdo about your dog and you, Miss Renee.
Well, you are listening to Cagdo about your dog and you. Cagdo is Capital Area Dog Guide Users, and we're located here in the nation's capital. Back over to Reverend Ray and our guest, Sammy Clay.
Yeah, so Sammy, how did you come to know about a guide dog, and then what made you decide to get a guide dog, and then where did you go to get a guide dog?
Okay, that was when I was working in the Pentagon. They hadn't retired me yet, and I was getting a taxi, getting the bus to work in the morning, and I would go in when I got ready. My boss would let me come in anytime I got ready, as long as I stayed there 8 hours. So
okay.
I would go in every morning about 11 o'clock, and I would leave whenever I finished what I was doing, maybe sometime 9 or 10 o'clock at night. So I would get a taxi home, one of those red tops, and they had an account for me. I'd call them and tell them, and they knew where to pick me up. And I was leaving the building one day I had gotten a white cane so that when I walked around in the building and bumped into people, they would know that, you know, I wasn't doing it on purpose. So I kept coming out of the building with my white cane, and this lady was coming out beside me, and she said, "Where are you going?" And I told her that I was going over to the bus shelter over there where my cab came. She said, "Let me walk with you." And she took my arm, and she walked over there with me. And we got over there, and I'm using my cane to find the edge of the sidewalk so I'd know where to turn, because I could see in the daytime. I couldn't see at night. And and when we got over there, she said, "Have you ever thought about getting a guide dog?" I said, "No." She said, "Would you like to have a guide dog?" And I said, without thinking, I said, "Yeah." She said, give me your phone number and the room that you work in, and I'll talk to you tomorrow." And she left. And I'm standing there waiting for my taxi, and I'm saying, "Sammy, you crazy? You live in a house that's got one bedroom, a big dog would not live in that house comfortably." So I tried to think of all the things I could say to tell this lady I really didn't want a dog when she came the next day. But she came the next day, and they had already signed me up for the school. That's it. She said, and this was in December, and the school was Leader Dog School in Michigan. And I'm from Chicago, and Michigan is colder than Chicago. So
right.
I told her, I said, "I can't go." She said, "Why not?" I said, "It's cold. I'm from Chicago. I don't want to go to Michigan in the wintertime." She said, "When would you like to go?" I said, "Maybe June or July." She said, "Okay." In about a week before I went there, I got a letter from them with a plane ticket and an invitation to come. And I said, "Well, why not?" I said, "Well, why not? I'll see if I can use this dog." So I went, and I was there. That time I was there for 28 days.
Mm-hmm.
And you go in, and they match you with a dog. First of all, you meet a person who calls themselves Juno, and they put the harness on themselves so they can figure out what your gait is, how fast you walk, what type of dog would suit you. And they got me this nice black Labrador Husky mix. And I could really see a little bit then. Actually, with 250-watt light bulbs in the right over my shoulder, I could read. But I got him, and I asked him, and he was the nicest dog. He'd follow me every place, and he'd do anything I wanted him to. And he always knew when we were going to breakfast, lunch, or dinner. Because you'd sit in the room waiting until they called your table, and he and I would be sitting two seats from the end, and my roommate at that time would be sitting on my right side, and we had to go out to the right, you know, to get out of there. And anybody that was sitting past her, he jumped over. He knew it was time to eat. And we couldn't feed him at the table, but he knew food was going to be in there, and he went and hoped something would fall on the floor. But he wasn't like my real Labrador. She would eat anything.
Uh-huh.
My second dog was a full yellow Labrador. She ate anything. When I brought her home, she ate, I cooked a turkey thigh, and I cut it in half to make sandwiches off, and left the half with the bone on the counter in the kitchen, because I got a phone call. and went back, it was gone, and I never found the woman. This dog ate. She ate anything.
Let me ask you this, Sammy. So when you got when you went there for the 28 days, was it what you expected? And what did you think? Because that is a lot of independence doing that. What was your experience like? How did you feel? And what did you think it was going to be like? And what was it like for you?
I didn't know what to expect, but when I got there, after, you know, they walked us through places, you know, they would take us every morning, they would put us on a bus and they'd take us to the training center. Then we would walk from then they would tell us where to go and we would walk and we could go. Actually, once we learned the routes, we could go almost any place we wanted the first time I went. That was back in 1988, I got Josh. And we could go and get a hamburger. We could go to the drugstore and go shopping. Go to the jewelry store, walk around. Go to the cookie shop. Go to the dog cookie shop. Any place we wanted to go. And they had what they would for training. They walked us in what they called a big P. From our training center, we would walk to the corner. We would walk up. We could go side of the P all the way up to the top. That was about three blocks, and then a block over, then a block down. Mm-hmm. And a block back where you met the other part of the P and came back to the training center. And I did that one time. I did that one time, and I crossed the street at the top of the big P. There was a street, and I didn't know about it. And the dog was where I wanted him to go. So I crossed the street. I didn't hear any traffic after that and didn't feel like I was stepping off of a curb or anything. And I got to the other side of the street, and I turned, you know, where I'm going. And I walked and I never found the street where I could go back at the bottom part of the P to the stem, you know, to go back. And I walked and walked and walked and I kept walking. And finally I got tired of walking and I felt around with the dog, he and I messing around. And I found some steps and I walked up to the top of the steps and there was a door and I knocked on it. Nobody was there. So we walked some more and I came to a wrought iron fence. And I heard a lawnmower. So I said, let's go find that guy on the lawnmower and ask him where we are. So we found a way to get through the wrought iron fence, and I'm walking toward the lawnmower, and I'm hollering, hey, Mr. on the lawnmower, hey, you guy on the lawnmower. And this lady came up, and she said, what do you want? I said, I was trying to get the guy on the lawnmower to tell me where I am. She said, why do you want to know where you are? I said, because I want to know where I am so I can go back to where I want to be. She said, when she told me where I was at a hospital that was on the edge of the city. I had walked about 15 or 20 blocks.
Wow.
And I said, well, how do I get back? She said, what street do you want to go to? I said, I want to go to Market Street, and I want to go back to 4th and Market so I'll know how to get home. She said, that's a long walk, but I'll tell you how to get there. She started counting blocks, and I had about 15 blocks to go to get to 4th Street. But when I got to the corner, when I walked out of there, that parking lot that I had gotten into and got to the street, if I turn right, I'm on Market Street and just walk all these 15 blocks. And while I'm walking up there, you know, down the middle of the parking lot, I wasn't on the side. I'm in the middle of the parking lot walking where the cars are coming, but none was there. This vehicle pulled up beside me, and somebody said, get in the van. I said, what?
That was the trainer.
Yeah, the trainer. He said, Sammy, get in the van. I said, who is that? He said, this is John. I said, I'm walking back to the... He said, get in the van. Everybody's waiting for you for lunch. They can't eat lunch till you get there. Get in the van.
Let me ask you this. So how long did it take you to get your confidence with the dog and you felt some sense of independence? How long did it take you to feel that way?
Well, with Josh, like I told you, I could see a little bit when I got him. So when I got him home, when I wanted to go someplace in the daytime, I would walk out of the house, out of my front door, and if I turned to the left and to the left again, go up some stairs and go, I could go to the supermarket. you know, and I would just tell him where I wanted to go. I could see where we were going, you know, and I'd tell him, I'd say, okay, Josh, left turn, and he, and then I'd say, left turn, and he'd do it. And we'd get to the steps, and he'd walk me up to the steps and up to the second flight. Then when we got to where we could turn right to get to M Street, I would have him walk me down to 4th Street, and I could hear the 4th Street traffic. And there come your music again.
Yeah, you know, well, that don't take long to get trained to that. Okay. Well, Sammy, this has really, really been fun. And sometimes we don't know what we're going to talk about, and we get into different things. And some people out there saying, well, what about her romance? Did she have a man? Did she date? Did she have children? Y'all going to have to come back to part two, because we didn't get into that today. Okay. So,
are
Sammy, thank you. So, yes, ma'am, believe it or not. Time flies when you're having fun. And
it sure
thank you so much. Thank you, Sammy, so much. But, Sammy, I'd like you to just share with the people, would you get a, you know, why they should get a guide dog, and just your pros and cons on, because the show is about your dog and you. And it's not a thing that you a cane versus a dog, or a person have a cane shouldn't have a dog, or you. It's not one or the other. You need to know how to use both, because a dog is still an animal and it can get sick and things can happen. So you still should use a cane. But Sammy, tell me why you glad you got a dog and suggest that people should consider getting a dog, blind people.
I think first of all, I think you should use a cane and a dog, and you should know how to use them both well. The dog keeps me from bumping into things. He keeps me from falling over things, because if I pay attention to the dog, I won't step down a flight of stairs that I didn't see and hadn't touched with my cane yet. But once the dog takes me to where I'm going, my dogs always block my body to keep me from falling downstairs, you know. If I fell downstairs and wasn't paying attention to the dog, I'd have to fall over them. But I think a dog, I don't know, I just like the dogs.
Okay.
And I like the cane, too. When I leave my house, I have both of them. I have the dog with me, and I have the cane in my purse. I have a folding cane. Fold it up and put it in my purse. So that if I get someplace where I need to figure out where I am, And tell the dog where to turn, sometimes I need the cane.
Yeah. And Sammy, isn't it true also with those military service women outfits, it's easier to walk with a dog than a cane with those 6-inch heels, right? No, I'm just kidding. Well, Sammy, thank you very much, and God bless you, and happy Memorial Day to you. Thank you, Sammy, for being out there.
Thank you very much,
you.
And I enjoyed this. Thank you very much.
Well, you're welcome. All right. Miss Renee. So would you like one of those military outfits and those 6-inch high heels?
I think I have outgrown 6-inch heels, so I think I better be a little bit more practical. Wasn't she a great guest?
Oh, great guest. But that's the first time I heard of somebody being drawn to the military because of the outfits. That is interesting. So that was a great guest. And Mr. Renee, I'll tell you how you can listen more to that and then join us next week. As I close, and this, hey, you have been listening to CAGDU about your dog and you. And I am your host, Reverend Radio Ray Razor. And as I always like to say, as I close the show, is hug your honey, but pet your pooch. God bless and be blessed.
You have been listening to CAGDU about your dog and you, Capital Area Dog Guide Users. Located in the nation's capital, we are heard here every Friday at 3 o'clock p.m. Eastern Daylight Savings Time. Have a question or a show idea? You can contact us in all the usual ways. Our email is cagdu2020@gmail.com. That's C-A-G-D as in David, U2020@gmail.com. Or give us a call at 301-263-7371. That's 301-263-7371. 7371. And on this day, we want to commemorate the men and women who made the ultimate sacrifice. Let's not forget what the holiday really means. See you here next Friday at 3 o'clock p.m.